From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. On today's show, we're trying to answer questions about what's in the Affordable Care Act and how the law will affect the average consumer. Our guest is Roberta Ripertella. She researches the consumer side of healthcare in her role as a health policy specialist for UW Extension. She's also a professor at UW-Madison's School of Human Ecology. Welcome back, Roberta.
Hi, Maureen.
So I'm hoping we can now talk about Medicaid. Under the Affordable Care Act, with Medicaid, more people are supposed to be covered. And you've touched on this a bit before, but can you kind of give us the broad overview of how Medicaid is affected?
Okay. This is an interesting dilemma that we have right now because
sure.
The Affordable Care Act had intended to bring the U.S. up to more full insurance by helping states cover those people under what ended up being 138% of the federal poverty line for within their Medicaid programs. Medicaid is a state-federal partnership. No state is mandated to be in it, but all states have chosen to, and usually the feds pick up about 60% of the cost to the states, 40% of the cost, and the federal government sets certain minimum requirements. If you're going to be a player, you have to do at least X, Y, and Z, and some states, including Wisconsin, often do a whole lot more than that. In the Affordable Care Act, we were going to expand who was going to be eligible for Medicaid, and that was going to be up to 138% of the poverty line. But it ended up that the Supreme Court was sort of somewhat split in their ruling. There was no majority view, and what it ended up saying is that expanding Medicaid to that adult single population without kids was not going to be mandatory, that the federal government was not going to be able to withhold the other money that it gave to the Medicaid program in that state if the state didn't expand. So lots of states are now considering not expanding. Some states are considering expanding. Arkansas just did an analysis which said that they were going to end up getting much more money both from the federal side and in terms of their cost savings for uncompensated care by getting their Medicaid population into this federal program of Medicaid that's supported by the Affordable Care Act. So if we don't expand, there are those kinds of issues. Know that Medicaid still, regardless of what happened with the Supreme Court decision, will increase primary care provider payments. There are going to be new options to expand home and community-based services. But then there's something called a gradual reduction in the disproportionate share hospital payment. And this reminds me of a few things that are important to understand about our healthcare system. It's not only how the consumer is going to be affected, but how the providers who are giving care are going to be affected by how much money is flowing into the system. The disproportionate share hospital payment was given to hospitals that see a lot of uncompensated patients. So that flowed from the federal government and Medicaid to kind of keep those hospitals afloat because they were seeing a lot of poor people. It's not clear what's going to happen now because the Affordable Care Act said, well, we're going to have a lot more people insured and we're going to have a lot of people in Medicaid. We're not going to have to give hospitals those disproportionate share payments. And it turns out that nobody realized that when you said, well, we're not going to have all these people in Medicaid because states aren't going to do this anymore, what do you do to make sure that the providers have enough money? So that's, I think, a critical part of what's happening. But let's think about what Medicaid means in our state. Most people understand that Medicaid is a program for the elderly over 65 and for the disabled. They take most of the money, and they take most of it in long-term care. The other part of Medicaid in our state is our Badger Care program, our Badger Care Plus program, our Badger Care Core program. And the changes that our state has already chosen to move ahead with because of what the Affordable Care Act is allowing began in July 1st of this year, or they will begin when a family who is on Badger Care goes through renewal. Children will not be directly affected, but we are increasing the premiums that those non-exempt adults, those over 133% of the federal poverty level, pay to be in the Badger Care program.
And actually 133% comes out a little over $14,000. For an individual, correct.
Yes. So we're not talking about people who make a lot of money. But so those are people who are now going to have to pay even more money in their premium. Exempt from that are pregnant women, persons with disabilities, American Indians, and those aging out of foster care. And they're going to be covered up until the age of 26. So they're not going to have to worry about the premium. But the premiums really matter because those who have access to employer-sponsored coverage may lose their Badger Care and now have to pay either an increased premium to Badger Care or pay a premium that their employer requires, and we may see a lot of people falling off our Badger Care rolls. And if you don't pay premium in 1 month, it can result in a cancellation of your coverage, and you have to wait a whole nother year to get back on. So there are changes in place for our Badger Care Medicaid population that already went into effect this July. And these are all legitimate and legal within what the Affordable Care Act said states could do.
But then with the Badger Care, recently caps were put in place, and would those caps be lifted for Badger Care? Could more people potentially end up coming on to Badger Care with the changes under the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, they could. Okay. The Affordable Care Act is saying that the federal government will help pay the premiums up to 90% of covering that population. But this is what the Supreme Court has said states do not have to do. So, yes, some people would say, well, let's just get people insured and the feds will end up paying a large proportion of it. And that's not clear that that's the direction that our state will go in, whether or not we will expand our Badger Care Core program. I think the evidence is that we will not. And these are choices that different states are going to have to make. So the feds allow it, the feds encourage it, the feds give incentives to make it happen, but that doesn't mean that a state, ours included, will do that, because it still means needing to put up some money from our budget. And as other states, our budget right now is being squeezed.
So next I want to talk about Medicare and how the Affordable Care Act has changed that. Seniors are now able to get free preventative services, annual wellness exams. And I wonder if you could talk about the donut hole regarding prescription drug discounts.
Okay, let's remember what happened here.
Sure.
Back in 2003, we got the Medicare Modernization Act, which gave us prescription drug coverage for Medicare for the first time. Medicare went into effect in 1966 at a time where most people used hospitals, and that's what it covered. It covered hospitals. Then it started to cover doctors. And finally, 40 years later, it started to cover prescription drugs. But it covered them in a way that didn't allow the federal government to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies so that the cost for those prescription drugs still remained high, and in a way that it was going to pay some of the costs for the beneficiaries of Medicare, and they were going to pay some of the costs. So, yes, there was this donut hole in Medicare where you paid up to a certain amount and you had a copay, and then Medicare stopped paying altogether, and you would pay what we call the donut hole up to a certain amount, and then above that amount, Medicare would start paying with you again. So the donut hole, the hole was that part where you had to pay all your prescription drug costs fully on your own, and this was a significant amount of money. And believe it or not, I can't remember it, and I can't find my numbers.
That's okay.
It's like in the few thousand range. But what the Affordable Care Act is doing is shrinking that hole till it'll finally disappear. So saying we will partner with Medicare beneficiaries throughout all of their prescription drug costs, and no longer will they be left hanging and having to pay the bill for until it gets really into the catastrophic phase. So through the next 4 years, we'll see a minimizing of that donut hole.
Are there any other changes expected with Medicare?
Well, the changes, there's a lot of changes for the providers.
Okay. But for consumers?
Well, I don't think that they're disconnected. How a provider is paid to see a Medicare patient impacts how that provider will treat that Medicare patient. And that's just the reality of the system that we've set up. If somebody is paid each time they see a patient in a fee-for-service way, they're likely to want to see that patient more often. Think about it. Doctors generate 80% of all our medical care costs because the doctor controls the spigot. So, you know, you make the decision to go to the doctor, and after that, the doctor decides how many tests you're going to have, how often you're going to go back to see that person. So how that doctor is reimbursed and what the incentives or disincentives are really will impact how well any particular consumer will have access to the healthcare system.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, my guest is Roberta Ripertella. She's a professor at UW-Madison's School of Human Ecology and a health policy specialist for UW Extension. We've been talking about how the Affordable Care Act is and will be affecting healthcare consumers. Roberta, the healthcare system overall is incredibly complex, let alone the thousands of pages included in the Affordable Care Act. So there's a potential that millions of people will now have access to health care. Is there any sort of movement to help educate these new consumers or even people who have had health care and health insurance for a while, either at the national level or at the state level?
Yes, there is. The Affordable Care Act in itself talks about the outreach and the educational programs that are going to be needed to get people up to speed, people who have never been insured before, who don't insure, understand what insurance is, who don't know what a copayment is or a deductible, and haven't the foggiest idea of how to purchase a health insurance plan. And those of us who think we do, who may have more choices than we've ever had before, remember, a lot of people work for employers where they've never had a choice. The employer tells you what your insurance plan is. So a lot of people really aren't that literate around health insurance. So the agency responsible for this is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They have been charged with doing the educational component so that everybody understands insurance. And they are right now, big time, going about looking for partners who will do that education at various levels. They are looking for health insurance navigators. These are people or agencies that will partner with CMS and will actually be reimbursed for helping people navigate this new health insurance world so that they can make choices in the exchange or with their own employer. I know right now that the UW Extension, Cooperative Extension System, has been invited to a conversation with our partners at CMS to talk about what Extension's role might be as these navigators. Do we, as particularly a state that has county-based educators, have a role to play in helping our residents in our counties navigate this new world of health insurance?
So it could be anything from forums to a call line, a helpline. I mean, I know online, I mean, you can go to healthcare.gov, and the information's kind of easy to understand. I mean, I guess it depends on the person, but just different ways that people can just call and ask questions, maybe.
Yeah, I think any at all. I imagine there will be helplines. I imagine there'll be a lot of information on the web, but of course you have to be facile and you have to have internet access. And a lot of times you're talking about low-income families who don't necessarily have personal access to the internet and may not feel that comfortable going to a library and putting in all their personal information. It'll be interesting to see who the navigators will end up being. A lot of the health insurance plans themselves will probably be navigators because they're going to want to encourage people to purchase their insurance plans. And then the health plans themselves, the provider groups, are going to want to have more people insured because then they won't be delivering uncompensated care, free care.
So another part of there being an increase in healthcare consumers is there's rumors circulating that there could end up being a shortage of healthcare providers. So that could mean longer waiting times and whatnot. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Okay. Right now, there are certain people in our population who think that we already have a shortage, and those are low-income people who live in inner-city neighborhoods and in rural communities. In fact, if you live in those neighborhoods, regardless of what your income is, you already know that there's a shortage of primary care providers. What the Affordable Care Act did was build in incentives and money for nursing programs and more neighborhood health centers so that there was an understanding that if you're going to increase the insurance pool, you're going to increase the need for access to care and the need for more providers. So there is money in the Affordable Care Act to help develop that workforce. So, yes, we probably will continue to see shortages in certain areas, particularly rural communities and inner-city neighborhoods, but we will see incentives to build up that workforce. Those health plans will have incentives to make sure that they find providers and distribute them more equally throughout the state, because if they have more people that they're insuring, they're going to want to make sure that they have more providers. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the schools of education that educate our future workforce, whether or not they will be ratcheting up the number of graduates that they have. I think there's lots of potential, but there probably will be enough providers to go around. But, yeah, we might have to wait a little longer than Americans are used to waiting.
Have to increase our level of patience.
Patience spelled a different way.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. Well, Roberta, thank you so much for joining me today. I hugely appreciate your insight and for helping us all understand the Affordable Health Care Act a little
better.
Well,
thanks for having me on, Maureen. I appreciate it.
Roberta Rippertella is a UW-Madison School of Human Ecology professor and health policy specialist for UW Extension. We've been talking about how the Affordable Care Act is and will be affecting healthcare consumers. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.